Welcome to Saleh Family Speaks.
Hey, I'm Sana.
And I'm Mohammed William.
And we are
the Saleh family.
We are social media influencers, content creators, and we own multiple online businesses. We seem to have a lot to say when it comes to just about anything. We are a mixed culture Muslim couple from Canada, and we're always asked about how our lives intertwine with the world around us.
This podcast is all about learning to live, love, and laugh in a way that may have you rolling on the floor or throwing your phone at the wall. No topic is off the table. Religion, culture, love life, and everything in between. So get ready and grab a big old cup of chai. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Hope you're doing well. Welcome back to another episode of Saleh Family Speaks. In today's episode, we're going to be speaking about differences of opinion in the Islamic tradition.
Which is a really heavy topic, if you think about it. We could talk about this probably for hours.
Absolutely.
But let's just dive right in. Let's not waste any time because we often in our content, we talk a lot about things that we follow, and then you'll head to the comment section and you'll find tons of comments of people saying, I don't follow that, I follow this. Mm-hmm. So let's discuss, because non-Muslims listen to our podcast all the time.
Absolutely.
And we want to inform them and not confuse them as to what that means, because we follow one book, mm-hmm. right? We follow the Quran and it's unchanged. Yep. So how does that happen? Like, why are there so many different varying views on things like niqab versus hijab, eating the meat of the Christian people and the Jewish people versus eating meat that's just only been slaughtered by Muslims, music with it being allowed or not allowed. There's so many different topics. So let's discuss, like, why is there so many varying opinions about these things in Islam, when Islam is very, I want to use the word, like, quote unquote, original.
Yeah.
You know, well, like it's unchanged.
For sure. It's like people say, right? It's one God, one book, one messenger. Mm-hmm. Why a million different opinions about things, right?
Yeah.
So to jump into it, you have to understand, firstly, a lot of it comes down to the language itself, right? The Quran is in the Arabic language, not in modern colloquial Arabic, which you see around the world, where you have Egyptians have a dialect of Arabic, Syrians have a dialect of Arabic, and they're different, right? Yeah. We're talking about Quranic Arabic or
the traditional Arabic.
Exactly, which is what the Arabic language takes a lot of its basis from. Mm-hmm. And in Arabic, one word can have a whole lot of meaning.
Yeah.
In English, you have an entire sentence to explain something, right? Mm-hmm. So, for example, if there's a farmer, mm-hmm. and he's doing something, right? We would have to say, you know, the farmer is planting seeds in the field, mm-hmm. right? Well, in Arabic, you would just have one word. And when you hear that one word, it describes the entire situation taking place.
It's crazy. Right? Because the language is so intricate and it's so detailed.
It's in depth.
Yeah.
Exactly.
English
and this is one of the reasons why Arabic is the language of the Quran, is because there's so much deep meaning mm-hmm. in what is being said.
Every word has meaning.
So, exactly. So now you take a look and you say, okay, that some things are what they call definite. Right, the verses, the rules are definite. Right, mm-hmm. we know that you know, gambling is haram, riba or a type of interest is haram. Mm-hmm. You know,
haram, by the way,
relations
means forbidden.
Yeah, so relations outside of marriage, wedlock, mm-hmm. forbidden. Right, these are clear cut. There's no dispute.
Yeah,
other things,
because it's clearly written.
It's clearly mentioned.
Yeah,
right. So then you have the principle in Islam that everything is halal, permissible by default, mm-hmm. except what has been explicitly forbidden and authentically forbidden. Mm-hmm. And then it takes a step further. I say, okay, well, certain scholars will interpret certain verses differently than others, right? And this is where the main source of differences of opinion come from. Mm-hmm. And then that's the Quran itself. Now you have hadith literature that came about in the books, you know, mm-hmm. 200-300 years after the demise mm-hmm. of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam,
which is narrations of the Prophet mm-hmm. as per certain people that heard him say so and so.
For sure,
that's what that is.
For sure. Now, to get too deep into that, because that's an entire issue in and of itself, where, you know, people will dispute the authenticity of the narration. They will dispute the narrator, or the one of the people in the chains of narration. They will dispute the matan, or the actual body of what's being said. But it's quite simple, you know. If you, for example, you know, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was sending a group of companions to a location, and he said, pray Salat al-Asr when you reach there. So they left, but they were a little bit late leaving. This is a very well-known story. They were a little bit late in leaving. So then they were on the on their journey, and the time for Asr came. The Asr was the midday prayer. And so one group said, well, it's time for the Salah. We can't miss our Salah. We have to pray, so we're going to pray here. And the other group said, no, the Prophet specifically said, pray when you reach that area. So we're going to wait until we reach there to pray, because that's what the Prophet said. And the other group said, yeah, but we're not. What he meant was, you know, is don't leave so late that you can't reach there before the time for Asr is in. So one group did one thing, the other group did the other thing.
When they returned, because they saw it, they understood it differently.
Exactly. So when they came back to the Prophet, peace be upon him, and they explained what had happened, he said, you're both correct. Right? So now you have a clear-cut difference of opinion amongst the companions. Both of them were correct. Right?
It's just how they interpreted what was said.
Exactly. So for example, you have the easiest, one of the easiest ways to understand this is the prayer itself. And people in Indonesia, the physical method of prayer is different than people in Pakistan. And that's different than people in Saudi Arabia. So something which is the second pillar of Islam, there should be no dispute. Right?
For sure.
But there is. Right?
On how to pray.
On how to pray. What is being said during the prayer. Right? And this comes from the understanding of the scholars and their interpretation and what they were able to extrapolate from the Quran and from the Sunnah, the way of the Prophet, peace be upon him. So for example, there's a hadith that's authentic. It's authentically narrated to make Rafa Yadain. When you come up from ruku, when you're bending, that you raise your hands again, and then go down into sajda, right? In these different instances. So this hadith is very authentic, right? But within the Maliki madhab, they don't do that. And so Imam Malik was the Imam of Medina. He's known as the Imam of Medina. And when he was asked, why don't you do this? He said that he wanted to put this into the madhab, into his school, which later became the Maliki school of jurisprudence. He said that I wanted to because it's authentically narrated in the hadith.
Yes.
But in the city of Medina,
nobody did it.
Nobody did it. So now, because the Prophet said, pray as you have seen me pray.
And that was the Prophet's city.
Pray as you've seen me pray. It's a very authentic, you know, very well-known hadith. Pray as you've seen me pray. So Imam Malik took from the Sunnah, the living tradition, that the companions taught their students, who taught their students, who were the scholars at the time of Imam Malik. And nobody did this. They didn't pray like this. But other places, they said, oh, there's a hadith, so we have to pray like this. Right? So neither are wrong. But it's different.
But everybody just kind of interprets it differently.
Exactly.
And it doesn't mean that one opinion is more weighted than the other one. It just means that everybody just views it a little bit differently, and it's not that it's incorrect. It's just which one you choose to follow.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the most important part is that there are literal differences of opinion for everything. If you if you look into the classical books, or you speak with the scholars, there's differences for everything. You know, Imam Shafi'i, who's one of the four, we call them the four imams, the four giant scholars of Islam, who to this day has an entire school that still follows his methodology, right? And he was speaking about the Maliki school, and he's also a student of Imam Malik. May Allah be pleased with both of them. But he says in his Kitab al-Umm, which is his most famous work, that, you know, just to kind of summarize, is that he's speaking about the Malikiyah, who permit temporary marriage. They permit ribat al-fadl. They permit so many of these different things. And he said that it's not for us to tell them that what they're doing is haram, because I know that when we say something like that, they will bring their proofs and their evidences to support what they're saying, and then they will tell us that you're doing haram and this, 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 and this, and it will just create division, right? Which is absolutely one of those things that is categorically forbidden amongst Muslims, is to create division amongst ourselves, right? So you have four schools of jurisprudence that have lasted 1300 years. And to this day, most of the Muslim world adheres to one of these schools of understanding. So they say, well, why is there four? Well, because I follow the Maliki fiqh, which is their understanding. And what that means, if you don't have fiqh, you don't have understanding of religion. Because, for example, when we say, people say, oh, the hadith says this. Yeah, but none of us learn how to pray from hadith.
Yeah, I learned from my parents, and my parents learned from their parents, and their parents learned from their parents.
Exactly.
It's like a tradition.
And this is, you know, to one group, this is the sunnah, it's mm-hmm. the living tradition.
Mm-hmm. And same with our kids, they're gonna learn directly from
even
us.
The giant scholars of Islam, none of them read hadith and learned how to pray because of that.
They followed the tradition
of Islam, right? Mm-hmm. So that's where you'll have a lot of these differences. But it comes down to that I follow the Maliki school's interpretation mm-hmm. and explanation of the Qur'an and the Sunnah.
Whereas I grew up Hanafi.
Exactly. So you follow Abu Hanifa's and his school, not just him because it's his whole school, but their interpretation and explanation mm-hmm. of the Qur'an and the Sunnah. And it will be different. It's like, you know, it's perspective. It's what you might hear.
It's like that analogy. Is the glass half full or mm-hmm. is it half empty? Well, if I'm looking at the glass...
What would you say?
I would say that the glass is half full.
You would say it's half full?
Yeah.
Okay. And like, someone
like
else?
Meaning like I can still go and drink some from that glass.
Okay. So that's your perspective.
But you would look at it.
Well, somebody else would look at it and say it's half empty.
Yeah.
I would look at it and say, well, I need further information because I need to know, was it in the process of being filled or being drank? If it was being drank, it's half empty. If it was in the process of being filled, it's half empty.
Yeah.
Or half full, sorry.
Half full, yeah. Right?
So it's all about perspective. And this, when something isn't clear, and this is the thing to understand, if there's a difference of opinion, mm-hmm. it means there is no authentic information to prove
that it's
one way versus the other.
Versus something like alcohol that's in the Quran mm-hmm. that is strictly forbidden and there's no dispute mm-hmm. about that, right? Or gambling or whatever. So nobody can look at that and be like, oh, there's a difference of opinion because it is clear cut. It is 100%.
Yeah. So we know that drinking alcohol is forbidden. But the Hanafis of the Salaf, they understood this to mean that it's not the alcohol itself. It's the intoxicating effect from the alcohol mm-hmm. that is forbidden.
Yeah.
So they drank, you know, drinks that had, you know, fermented essentially, like kombucha, whatever,
yeah.
Nabith, which is a fermented drink, mm-hmm. because they didn't, their understanding, and again,
because you can't get drunk off of kombucha.
Yeah. Well, these are the giants mm-hmm. of the Salaf, of the early generation of scholars. Mm-hmm. And they understood these verses to mean it this way, whereas the other group understood it to mean, no, alcohol in any respect is absolutely forbidden, which is the majority, especially at that time, right?
Like, for instance, to give an example, when you're baking and you have vanilla extract, right? Yeah. You'll go to the grocery store here in Canada and you'll pick up vanilla and it'll have some tiny, itty bitty, teeny weeny little percentage of alcohol, right? Or whatever, right? Yeah. And the thing is you're not going to take vanilla extract and like drink it and like become drunk.
Yeah.
But like, there are scholars that will say like don't use it at all. Like I personally buy my vanilla extract at a halal food store and it's extracted in a way that there is no alcohol.
So you because you
follow. But then some say it's okay because you're literally putting a teaspoon of it in your cake and it's not going to do anything.
Yeah. Like, so that's two sides to the coin. It's two differences.
Two differences.
So one side of scholars will say that no, because you're using it and it's evaporated off because it's alcohol. When mm-hmm. heat touches it, it evaporates. Mm-hmm. There's no alcohol in your food.
Yeah.
Right. The other side will say, but if the thing that you're using, if you were to consume a large amount and
that's
it would
right.
get you intoxicated, it's forbidden in a small amount.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether you're going to make it into something.
That makes sense.
Right?
Which it makes sense. Both sides make sense.
For sure. And that's the thing.
I would rather err on the side of caution and just use the one that doesn't have any in it. But that's
correct.
Just,
correct.
That's the
opinion
I take.
It's like anything, right? That these issues that come about when people say there's a difference of opinion. Mm-hmm. Really what they're saying is there's no authentic information to forbid this or to approve it.
Yes.
Right? So that people like music, right? They like to say, well, we're going to do a podcast coming up shortly about music, but just a very much easy to understand quick one. but there's a difference of opinion about music. What that means is there's no authentic mm-hmm. information to prove conclusively that music is forbidden.
Yes.
Right? And so when you follow the principle of the Salaf, the original, you know, the early generation of scholars, everything is permissible unless it's been explicitly made forbidden.
Yeah. Which in this case, hasn't been.
Exactly.
Anything.
So people will say, oh, there's a hadith. But they don't understand what the scholars have said about these hadith. They don't understand that they're fabricated, they're not authentic, there's mm-hmm. problems in the chain, there's problems in the matan, there's problems, mm-hmm. you know, or they're misunderstood, they're mm-hmm. misinterpreted, they don't understand all of the other books of hadith.
And common people can't look at that and understand that.
Exactly.
Because they don't have the years of experience in, number one, Arabic, because that's a thing that most people...
Classical,
you know,
Arabic.
Yeah, exactly.
So in order to read the classical books of Arabic, you can't really do it because the words, the meanings and everything have changed mm-hmm. over the years.
And then also the second thing would be the science of hadith and understanding the authenticity, how to trace narrations, mm-hmm. narrators, like how authentic those people are. What their chain of command is or whatever.
Yeah.
That's stuff that you and I can't understand that by opening up a book.
The biggest problem I have with that is that there's a hadith of the Prophet, a famous hadith in Bukhari,
yeah.
where he says that if you do not have, you know, respect for the elders, mercy on the youngsters, and reverence for the ulama, the scholars, mm-hmm. you're not of us.
Yeah, if you don't
meaning
have respect.
If you don't respect elders,
yeah.
to a, you know, a high, high, high esteem, and you're merciful to children who make mistakes, they're silly, mm-hmm. they know it. And if you don't have, and reverence for the ulama, which is like next level, like
respect.
Beyond
like high,
respect.
Like high level of respect.
Right? So now, like, you know, Sheikh Madhar, you know, who was a guest on our podcast about music the first time.
Season one, when he was asked
in a live, which book of hadith should I open up and read from mm-hmm. a common person? He said, none of them.
Yeah.
He said that we study principles of hadith for 5-6 years before we even open up
wow.
the books of hadith.
And people don't know that. And
people
on TikTok, I'm just going to throw this out there.
Yeah.
People on TikTok are like, this hadith says this in this narration and this hadith says that, so don't do that. And in my mind, I'm like, dude, like you're sitting in your mom's basement. And
you've never studied.
You're literally doing a Google search, pulling up a hadith and telling everyone,
yeah.
this is what this says, so you can't do that.
Because
there's no information yeah. about where that hadith came from, mm. the authenticity behind it, anything.
And
it's
if you listen to
crazy.
Just the imam in the masjid here yesterday, speaking about weaponizing hadith.
Mm.
Muslims, that's what we do. We weaponize hadith against each other.
Yeah.
You're wrong because
true.
The hadith says, this is haram. You're dividing the Muslims based upon something that you don't even understand.
Yeah, so true.
It's incredibly ironic. So... you know, what is mutawatir, what is mass transmitted? Meaning it's hadith, but there's so many people who are narrating this hadith that it's impossible to be, mm-hmm. you know, fabricated, weak, whatever. It's almost as authentic as mm-hmm. the Quran. And the Prophet said, if you narrate from me what I didn't say or do,
mm-hmm.
then prepare your place in the fire.
Mm-hmm.
And all Muslims should take heed of those words. That the Prophet is telling you, and we're so sure as lay people, we're quoting hadith like it's going out of style, and we have no idea. So the dangers of that we're literally throwing ourselves into, you know, the fires of hell because we're narrating things. Oh, it's sahih
mm-hmm.
according to who?
Mm-hmm.
Right? We don't even have any information mm-hmm. or knowledge.
And then those videos go viral and everyone's mm-hmm. passing it around and people are tagging us and they're like, see, what you're saying is wrong. It's not us saying anything. It's always been us saying this scholar says this and this is their opinion yeah. about this matter and that's what we follow.
Mm-hmm.
Is the glass half full or is it half empty? So I have a question for you.
Yeah.
So people will say, this is one term that comes up often
yeah.
and it's the words majority versus minority.
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, people will say the majority opinion is that niqab or the face covering is not of Islam. It's a cultural thing, and that only the hair should be covered
mm-hmm.
and the body, obviously, but not the face. The face should be left uncovered.
Mm-hmm.
And then people will say, you know, the majority opinion is that music is not permissible.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, how do you? Where does that terminology even come from? When both opinions exist, they're both valid. None of them are wrong. People can wear niqab if they want to.
Mm-hmm.
People can wear hijab if they want to. people can listen to music if they want to, or they cannot listen to music if they want to. Both opinions, all of those opinions are valid, because they're being interpreted. Again, is the glass half full or is it half empty? People understand it differently. But where does this like minority versus majority thing come from? Because so, that's what people throw around all the time.
Of course, of course. And again, it comes from lay people. It doesn't come from scholars. Okay? So
scholars don't use that term, those terms.
No, because they're educated. They don't need to use those terms. Mm-hmm. It's common people who don't understand who's majority, who's minority. How many scholars have you interviewed, and what is the consensus data? Please show me your graph of these research studies, because that's what you're saying. When you're saying majority, and think like this, okay? If you're going to quote a majority from 1,000 years ago,
yeah,
you're likely quoting a majority from a specific place. And it may be that in Kufa, for example,
yep,
that all the scholars agreed that music is haram. Mm-hmm. What about in Basra? What about in Medina? What about in Mecca? What about in Misr? What about in
Pakistan?
Sham? What about in all of these places, right? So there's so much to unpack in that. So again, to quote Madhar, Sheikh Madhar, that majority and minority is a fallacy in fiqh. It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Okay. Firstly,
which makes sense. It shouldn't.
Let's just call that for what it is. Mm-hmm. Secondly, these terms are used by common people to try to prop up their argument.
Yeah.
You understand?
Because let's say you hop onto TikTok,
or Google,
YouTube. Right? There's 100 videos, or there's 100 articles on Google, or there's 100, you know, whatever you want to call it, and that. People will look at that and be like, oh, that's the majority opinion. Yeah. Because I can find that it's more accessible to me. I can understand that that's what the opinion is.
There's so much wrong in all of those statements. And the funniest thing is that people who claim majority of scholars say music is haram, most of those people are also of the opinion that the niqab is wajib, which is a fraction of people who said that.
Which is a minority.
It's below a minority. Yeah. Because you have people like Sheikh Yusuf Qardawi, you know, rahimahullah, who said that the niqab is not even part of Islam. Mm-hmm. That it's a cultural thing that Muslims did and it became, you know, known and associated with the Muslims. Mm-hmm. Right? That's a minority opinion as well. That the majority, if you want to use that, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad, Imam Shafi'i, Sheikh Al-Albani, Sahaba, you know, that the face is to remain uncovered in the hands and then feet, you know. But, you know, it's common people throwing these terms around. And
to belittle other Muslims.
Exactly. They weaponize these things against Muslims. It's haram.
It's so wrong.
So there's two instances.
It's just bullying on a whole other level.
Two instances that will help you people to better understand majority versus minority. Mm-hmm. That the Wahhabism of Saudi Arabia, that it's an ideology, okay? And it has been funded, you can look this up, that over the last, it's billions and billions and billions of dollars that they've spent to spread this ideology around the world, okay? Meaning, I'm a revert, I can go to Medina University and get a free education. I can get a free indoctrination, is what it is. Mm-hmm. Because, and again, you talk to the scholars. They have these problems in every masajid you go to, except their masajid.
Yeah.
Right? That these people will come, and to digress slightly, is that Sheikh Al-Albani, who is deemed one of the Salafi Trinity, rahimahullah, he wrote a fatwa, a research article exposing these people. That they come, they get a crash course in Dawah, they get a crash course in Arabic, and then they go back home and they start creating fitna. You can look this up. This is called the Salafi Dawah in Disarray by Sheikh Al-Albani. Mm. And he said that these people, they can't even read from the Mus'haf in front of them correctly. They can't read the Quran properly. Mm. And yet they're going to start quoting hadith. They know nothing of the sciences of hadith. And Sheikh Al-Albani is an incredible hadith scholar. No question.
Because what they're being taught is very superficial.
It's an ideology.
Yeah.
It's a dogma, and then they're going to spread it, and you know they teach
it's like
them.
A cult.
Yes, they teach them, and then they send them to all of these places or back home.
And then they're the ones making the TikToks.
Yes.
And they're the ones that are pushing people
so
away.
So now, is this an Islamic majority, or is this a government and an ideology trying to purchase the majority?
Yeah.
Because when they've purchased the majority, again, if you look into what they're promoting it to protect the crown. Mm-hmm. their ideology is to protect the crown.
Yikes.
Right? And again, don't take my word
for it. Hashtag insider information.
Yeah, do your own research. Do your own research, right, in these matters, right? Mm-hmm. But the same thing when Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah, was jailed. He was jailed by the government because he refused to accept their opinion about whether the Quran was the word of Allah or the creation of Allah, right? And again, for common people, scholars even, it's a completely nullified conversation. Mm-hmm. It's an argument that should never even happen. Mm-hmm. But it did happen. And they tortured him. They beat him mercilessly. He refused to accept what they were telling him that he needed to teach.
Yep.
So he refused to accept what would be the majority opinion because it's the government pushing it to the people. You're either going to teach this or you're going to end up like Imam Ahmed, yeah. rahimahullah.
Yeah.
So, oh, yeah, okay. Most people, oh, I don't want to die.
Well, that's where politics comes in.
Exactly.
And that's the sad thing about it is as Muslims, like we don't want politics in this kind of stuff because it makes it hard for non-Muslims that
come in. Well, it takes religion right out of the picture.
Yeah, it's like, what the heck? Like, why is there so many politics in this all of a sudden? Exactly. Let's just be Muslim. Let's try not to divide ourselves. Let's not bully each other and just understand that, yes, differences of opinion exist.
And there's nothing wrong with it.
You can follow what you believe. I will follow what I believe. And we should not hound each other saying, you're right, I'm wrong. I'm wrong, you're right. Like, so, let's just get rid of that whole thing. So
that is haram. Mm-hmm. And I'll end it with this, that the division that is created based upon differences of opinion is 100% haram. Mm-hmm. But we're okay to do haram and divide people based upon something in which there's no factual evidence to prove.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is like with us, I'm just going to throw this out there. We have such a wide range and circle of friends. We have friends that wear niqab and believe mm-hmm. that it's you know, like
mandatory.
Yep. We have friends that do not listen to music at all and believe that that's you know, authentic.
Then keep it out of your videos on TikTok. I'm just saying.
And we love all of them. Yeah. Like, whether they believe in one thing or another, like, it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter to me.
But this
like,
is Islam.
That's what Islam should be.
This is Islam. You have in the Quran, you have Sulaiman and Daoud differing on a matter of a judicial issue mm-hmm. about, you know, the sheep they grazed into somebody else's property. They differed. Mm-hmm. The prophets differed, right? You know, the narration of the person who committed 99 murders, right? The angels came to take him. Mm-hmm. You know, one were taken one way, the other ones were arguing, saying, no, he's going to hell. He said, no, he's not. Mm-hmm. The angels differed on this issue. Prophets differed on the issue from the Quran.
Yeah.
The Sahaba differed. Okay. In the Quran, we're talking about the Battle of Badr and what to do with the captives. Abu Bakr and Umar differed. The Prophet sided with Abu Bakr's decision. Allah sided with Umar bin Khattab's decision. So who cares if we have differences of opinion, right?
At the end of the day, it comes down to the principle of respect. And I think that's a test in itself. Like us as humans, it's a test in itself. Like, are you able to make friends and be peaceful with all kinds of people? And that's our test. Or are you going to fall into this dogmatic approach of bullying and saying you're wrong and I'm right?
If you can't recognize differences of opinions amongst Muslims, how are you going to guide humanity?
Yeah, exactly.
You're too busy arguing with each other.
Exactly. Right? Stop the arguing, guys.
Yeah. So this is the last thing I want to say is the quote of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, and he said that the wisest person is the person who recognizes differences of opinion.
Hmm.
Because he doesn't Beautiful. Create division amongst the Muslims by not understanding it.
Ugh, love it.
Right? So that's the advice, guys. Take the advice from one of the greatest mujtahid scholars that's ever walked the face of the earth.
Yep.
Do love not it. Become disunited, as Allah has told you. Understand differences of opinion. And if there is a difference of opinion, understand it. If you're doing something that is maybe different than what other people understand, mm-hmm. understand the information. Understand why that's a valid, you know, reason.
Yeah.
Anyway, barakallahu fikum. May Allah bless all of you guys. Stay united, you know, for the sake of mm-hmm. Allah, for the sake of the Muslims around the world.
Thank you so much, you guys, for listening. And we hope we'll catch you in the next one.
All right, take care, guys. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.